Well, good day, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskadnir, Christian Center, Shreveport. It's Yom Kippur. We're on the holiday this very day. May the Lord speak to you about the power of His forgiveness and making us to stand right before the Father. We're going to talk about the gift of the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. All right, let's listen in. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam oreh peri hagafen oreh peri hagafen la 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 la. You are Lord, our God. You are the creator of the universe. Well, welcome. It's Monday. It is the 25th day of September 2023. On the biblical calendar, it is Yom Kippur. Started last night at sundown and will end today, Monday, at sundown as well. And it's the Day of Atonement. And we, as believers in Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior, He provides a different perspective than they would have had in the time of Moses concerning this day. And I want to rejoice in that. For Jews, many times, this is a sad day. It's a scary day. They feel like their sins are being counted, and they do cry for mercy. But without Messiah, it's an empty cry because they need a sacrifice. And now in the Jewish faith, there is no sacrifice. It's inhumane to kill animals and such. Even though Arabs do it and Muslims do it all the time. But nonetheless, we're at a place where we don't have to do sacrifices. Book of Hebrews is our guide. We have a high priest. We have an apostle who's over us, and Christ died once for all. So let me release the prophetic, or the really powerful insight of Yom Kippur and what it means for us as New Covenant believers. Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, however you want to use the term, is such a picture of God's grace in the midst of what many see as a picture of His judgment, which it is, I agree, but the beauty of His justice can be seen in the eyes of the Spirit. It tells us that God, who created the universe, reaches out to us with love and forgiveness, asking us to love and forgive others. God, listen to me, never asked us not to make mistakes. All He asks is that we acknowledge our mistakes, learn from them, grow through them, and repent before Him so that we can experience the strength that only comes from casting our cares upon Him. Do you understand the beauty of that? Our faith in God and the God of Israel gives us believers the possibility of going higher, experiencing more in life, and the life to come more than any human ever born. That's the privilege we have. We were created in His image and likeness, and He has given us the freedom, not freedom to give into the passions of our own. Paul talks about that in Galatians. But the power within us to choose life. That's where we choose life. His words are for that. They're to give us life. They're not just mere words. It talks about that in the Old Testament. They're not mere words in Deuteronomy. We are living within. What's living within us is the power to change not only our lives, but to change the world in which we live. When God released the spirit of freedom to us, we were given the freedom to choose to be better than we were before we met Him. The mystery that He has chosen to give us free will is something that must not be abused, but something that has to be honored. The more we choose to walk in the freedom He gave us, the healthier our lives become. The picture of this feast we're talking about today, Yom Kippur, is a picture of the forgiveness He has offered us. And out of our gratitude and love for Him, we choose to walk a different life than the rest of the world. See, the world chooses the path of least resistance. And we've been called to walk a path that very few desire to walk. That's why it's so hard, guys, sometimes. Everything we do on a daily basis is driven by our faith in God to be one of his ambassadors. And that is what many would call a counterculture. Isn't it interesting? We're in a cancel culture. We're called to be counterculture. To be in Christ is to swim against the current, to challenge all other gods that come before him. No one said, I promise you, it was just going to be easy. I know sometimes when we prayed that prayer, we were told our life was going to get better. And it did, but it also got difficult. To be a believer, we don't become great because we were more gifted than others, but because life demands that we move into greatness under the great power so that what? His name will be glorified in all the earth. Think about how difficult it was for the Jews in the time of Moses. Think about this. No other religion was asked to fulfill 613 commandments. They were so difficult that no one could master them, which was God's intentions all along. Anyway, he had a plan because they could not master. God was proving that without him, you can do nothing. So the Jews would fall short time and time again, which meant they needed forgiveness. And so that also meant that they needed, that God made forgiveness to be part of his purpose. How did he deal with the issue? He added mercy to justice. He added compassion to retribution, patience instead of strict rules. In Hosea, they cried out, Lord, your name is being is a reproach among the people. And said, God began to have pity on the people. See, this is a grace. When our nation's in a sin, God still wants to have pity upon us. Faith is the God of Israel was different than all others in the world. It was a faith that had repentance and forgiveness as its foundation. Think about that. The beauty of Yom Kippur, repentance and forgiveness. The judgment portion is what we don't deserve, is that we don't deserve to be forgiven. The grace portion is we can be forgiven by the grace of God. Our name, if you're honest, should not be written in the book of life. But because of his shed blood, we have access back to him. Our names are written on this very special day, Yom Kippur. And being overwhelmed by this great theological truth, there is one fact that stands out greater than the others, that God loves us more than we love ourselves. He believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. He never gives up on us, no matter how many times we slip and fall. The story of our faith is the story of the love of God for a people who rarely reciprocated his love and have constantly fallen short of what was available to them. Don't you have to agree with that? The feast is more than in our expression of faith in God. It's an expression of God's faith in us. Look, he loves us. He delights in us. That's what the word says. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, the Shema, you know it really well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk about them when you sit in the house and when you walk on the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontals of your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now that's very beautiful. Shema, we call it. But in our own personal life, Jesus talks about the very same thing, love your neighbor as yourself. He adds to this in Mark chapter 12, and he reiterates. He didn't remove that command. He just enforced it through his death and resurrection for us. So during the ceremony of the atonement, you know this story. We've taught it before. But the high priest would take two goats to the altar. One he sacrificed, and he sprinkled the blood of on the ark, the curtain, the altar, on the ground. And he had done that. He took another goat. What he also did was he took another goat and he laid his hands on it and he sent it in the desert as a picture that God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. So when you read that in Psalms 103, that's what he's talking about. The goat, who was a type of guilty sinner, was free because the blood of an innocent one, the innocent goat, he should have been sacrificed, but he became what we call a scapegoat. That's where we get that term from. And we see this in the sentencing of Jesus before Pilate. There were two people that were to be crucified, Barabbas and Jesus, right? Barabbas, which means son of the father, was trying to cause an insurrection to overthrow the Romans and to set Israel free from its occupation and oppression. And he had done nothing to atone for anyone's sins. He'd done nothing to help anybody else. The other was Jesus, who had done no wrong, was innocent, sheds his blood, and atones for all the sins when appropriated, right, to this whole issue. So Jesus fully becomes the Passover lamb and the innocent goat that covers the sin of the people, thus fulfilling the needed blood of a day of atonement as well as the Passover. So Jesus was sacrificed. Barabbas was set free. And before the Messiah was to come, the people believed his coming would be twofold. Number one, he'd be a suffering Messiah. We see that in the picture of his suffering story, the suffering story of Joseph, hated and persecuted by his brothers, then sold into slavery by his brothers. The Messiah then carries the term Mashiach, Ben Yosef, Messiah, the son of Joseph, and it indicated the trials he must incur. It was no mistake that Mary married Joseph. Isn't that cool? Conquering Messiah. He was also the second way he was supposed to come. It's a parallel between King David, who ruled Israel and kept the Torah covenant unto his death, Mashiach ben David, Messiah, son of David, son of mercy, have mercy upon us. In Revelation 22:16, I am the root and the offspring of David. So to bring even more revelation to this, Joseph was sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, right? To cover up their sin, they covered his coat with the blood of a goat. Joseph was banished to the desert, later rose to the top leader of the known world, as we know, and given the name Zaphat Paneah, which means savior of the world. So Joseph later would save his brothers from destruction. So Jesus was sold by his own brothers for 30 pieces of silver, who is the true savior of the world and removes all our sins, removes the sins as far as the east is from the west. And then he will come back and rule as a conquering Messiah for 1,000 years. And that's what we're going to see when we talk about in the days ahead about the Feast of Tabernacles, when he gathers the nations that were promised to Abraham, and with the celebration of the ingathering and marriage supper of the Lamb. So Jubilee only occurs on Yom Kippur. And on the last feast, all sins of the world will be completed, and those who repent will experience the great and final ingathering. And this will mark us entering into the eternal Jubilee, which we're looking forward to. So each year it's said, next year in Jerusalem. But it can be said by us who have experienced the atonement already, see you at the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you with me? And I want you to catch this revelation today that God is up to something amazing on Yom Kippur. What a great gift. That's why when the scripture says, how can we neglect such a great salvation? How can you? Look what he's done for us. We are the scapegoats. We have been set free to go into the wilderness to the world and to know that we can go to a place where our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. So on this Yom Kippur, let us see that we have a Messiah who is, according to Hebrews chapter 3, our great high priest. You know, on this day, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and atone, in a sense, for the sins of the people. Knowing that they weren't holy, they knew the innocent blood of the animal was the sacrifice. But look, we don't have to do that. We don't have to have human high priests go into any temple. We don't have to have a priest sit in a booth and you tell them your sins and then they go to the Father for abstention of your sins. No, that's over with. We are in a new covenant where he died once for all and we can enter into that. So as we go into this year, this new season, walk in this, that the Lord delights in you. He delights in it, and that forgiveness and reconciliation are part of the foundation of our faith. Righteousness and justice is the foundation right of the kingdom. So this is the gift that's been given to us today. So if you want to say what Yom Kippur really is, it's a gift. It's a gift from the Lord that tells us the story that though we were sinners, he died for us. and forgives and restores us, and we can be world changers. And that's the responsibility we have on this Yom Kippur. I hope that encouraged you. I hope it brings hope to you and lets you know the love of God over your life and for your life. You are special before the Lord, and this day shouldn't be a negative, oh my God, the judgment day. No, the judgment day is that you're forgiven, I'm forgiven, and we get to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Take this word today. This is a real, I think, a prophetic word, pointing us to the future. In the name of Jesus, I pray that over everybody today. What bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Well, thanks for listening each and every day on these daily podcasts. Don't forget to go to our app or our website, but mainly our app, where we list all the things we're doing. We have things like prophetic flexes, where you can come online and we'll pray for you. We have healing ministry that we do online as well. There are many things we do. If you live in the Shreveport-Bossier area, you're welcome to come to these events as well. We do prayer at the congregation on Tuesdays at noon, as well as our live streams at noon. We do so many things. You must find out what we're doing in order to be a part of that, and we'd love you to do that. Thanks for sowing into all this, because everything we do can go back to your faithfulness to give. We thank you for that. So have a great day. Come back tomorrow as we keep releasing Revelation.